Welcome back. It's Marriage Listeners.
Yeah. Welcome.
Yes. Today we are welcoming Tom and Michaela Burley. Tom and Michaela are probably one of our younger couples that we will be interviewing.
Yep.
We've known them, what, a couple years now?
Yeah. 3, 4, 5 years.
Oh.
I don't know.
2 to 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's always a joy when you get to connect with other couples who, you know, you're similar to.
Right. Like-minded.
I mean, we've shared a lot in common with just about everyone we've interviewed, but it's just been special with the Burleys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, Christ always unites us anyway.
Amen. So we are looking forward to our time with them. Well, welcome Tom and Michaela Burley to the podcast.
Thank you, Mark.
Hi, Mark. Yeah, nice to meet you. Yes, we're happy to have the both of you here. We've waited a little bit to bring you into our studio.
Yeah, that's what you want to call it.
Right.
So. But we're excited and thankful that you're willing to do that. So we're going to start off with the questions right away. So the first one we're looking at is, how did you meet and what drew you to each other that eventually led you to the altar? Was it an altar?
So, Michaela and I both went to Cedarville University, but we actually didn't know each other there. So, a couple of years after graduation, we were both back in New England, and we were at an alumni event that Cedarville had in New England. So, I met Michaela briefly there. She was living in Portland, Maine, and a month or two later, I got a job offer in Portland. So,
convenient.
I looked on Cedarville's
Lord moving.
I looked on the Alumni Association website and just to see if maybe there's someone in the area I knew, and Michaela was the only name that popped up that I knew, so I reached out and said,
"That's so cool.
I'm moving to the area. Where the should outside. I live?" And she slid me into her apartment building.
Separate entrance.
So it was great. So for a couple of years we were neighbors and got to know each other that way before we ended up beginning to date. So a lot of shared faith, shared values, shared interest. So by the time that we started dating after a couple of years, it was pretty intentional since we knew each other quite well.
Yeah.
And we knew at that point it was kind of a serious dating relationship at that point.
So before you were dating, you were getting to know each other. Is that what you said?
I did.
How did you do that? Were you actually going out to dinner and stuff like that?
It was more going on little day trips, adventures, walks around the city. So we were fortunate to live in Portland with a view of the ocean from our apartment. So we would go for walks around there, walk downtown, grab a coffee. I think we had a couple day trips here and there. So just casual outings like that.
That's awesome.
And we were visiting similar churches. We'd go to church together for a little bit too.
So you were friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're friends.
That's great. It's kind of like us.
Yeah, we knew each other for almost 3 years before I finally got the nerve to.
We had group settings and.
Yeah. I got to observe you.
Yeah. Vice versa.
And look at you now.
That's right.
So, what led you to the altar?
Another 2 years?
Oh, my gosh. That was a long process.
Your father led you down to the altar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good answer.
I like it.
You know, once again, it was pretty intentional dating. So after we started dating, it was less than a year later before we were engaged. And I think we both knew at that point. We knew who the other person was. I think we were mature enough that we at least thought we knew what marriage was. So
it's a quick engagement.
How old were you guys?
28 and 29.
Okay, yeah.
So just
a tad
older.
That's a good age.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, all right. Well, how was your wedding day? Or tell us what your wedding day was like.
Our wedding day, we got married in August.
Okay.
So it was a beautiful day, actually. We got married in York on the water.
York, Maine.
York, Maine. Yes, sorry.
Nice.
And it was an afternoon wedding. We got married on a Sunday, so it was a little cheaper.
Yeah,
so on the water, was that like on a deck, on a boat?
It was actually at a little inn, dockside. Still there, and they had a lawn that they set up chairs for us and got married there. So no unity candle, no traditional things. We just stood there
and said, I do.
And then we were, but anyway, it was an afternoon wedding, so the morning was kind of relaxed. Hung out with my bridesmaids and did the hair and all that, and getting ready. And then we met before our wedding for pictures, so we had like a little reveal by ourselves, which was really sweet.
They do that more now.
Way back in the day, you weren't supposed to see your spouse before the wedding. It was bad luck.
But then you're taking pictures afterwards, waiting. Yeah, everybody's having to wait for you, so it kind of makes sense.
Was it a big wedding? A lot of people?
No, 60 people.
Okay.
Kind of our closest friends and family.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah. So, and Michaela's childhood pastor officiated.
So
that was nice. Yeah.
And then before we were married, we were meeting with a couple, part of the navigators, and they kind of mentored us and did some of the premarital counseling. So it was nice to have them be a part of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great segue, actually. Question I did not think to ask was about getting counseling, marriage counseling, because some couples have it, some don't. And so glad you inserted that. Mm-hmm. The next question sort of abruptly transitions, but did you stay in the area for your honeymoon or did you go somewhere special? Or
we went to the West Coast. We did.
Oh, okay.
We spent, 5 days in Seattle? And then we took the high-speed ferry up to Victoria, British Columbia.
Oh, wow.
Spent several days up there and back to Seattle and flew home.
Nice.
And I realized that most people go someplace relaxing on their honeymoon. And, of course, we didn't want to do that. We wanted to go explore. And then we were married, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is why people go to the beach and don't do anything.
Because we were exhausted.
Yeah. So we took, I think the first 4 days we were taking, 2-hour naps every afternoon.
Wow.
Just kind of catching up, but it was fun. Seattle was beautiful. Victoria was spectacular.
Did it rain in Seattle when you were there?
Not in August. That's kind of a safe month to go.
It really is.
It was
all the way around.
It's part of the decision making. But
I lived there right out of when I was in college, but it was in the spring for 6 months and it rained every day. Hmm. So,
well, it's known for rain.
Yeah.
So, but when you get the sun, it's spectacular.
It's
right.
It is.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So that leads to the next question. Can you remember the time when the honeymoon in parentheses started to fade? That's a big assumption. I know. Right. What if the honeymoon never faded?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of expectations, right? After
right.
you get married, what your next year will look like, the next 3 years. And the first year was harder than we thought. It was probably a couple months in when we started to kind of run into some things that we probably didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was around unmet expectations, marriage not looking exactly like we imagined it would look. Mm-hmm. It's different personalities, bringing them together. You know, I'm an introvert. I need different quiet time. And I think sometimes Michaela would take my need for quiet time as a desire to pull away or something. There's just different things that we certainly had to face. And I would say it probably started a couple months after the honeymoon and probably for about a year. we had to work through some things. Yeah,
that's real.
Well, it's funny because I remember my mom asking, I don't know, it came up in conversation about how our first year went, and Tom was like, oh, it's really hard. And I remember being like, it was? I didn't know it was that bad. And I was like, uh-oh. But,
well, good. If that's rough, we're okay.
I think, and a lot of those unmet expectations were on my end. Just what I thought things would be like or how he would be. And but it was definitely a growing year.
Mm-hmm.
Communication, I think that continues to be something that we're, me more than Tom, but growing in how to communicate well.
Yeah, right.
And even in those struggles, I don't think it ever felt like it pulled us apart. we just knew that there was stuff that wasn't going how it needed to go, and we needed to work on some things.
Right.
Mm. So we had to, we knew and communicated, even in our disagreements, how we disagreed. I would bottle things up and hold them in until they all popped out, and yeah. I had to adjust that. And then I also had to learn that there were times when we had to discuss something, but Michaela wasn't ready. So yeah. I needed to hear her say, I can't talk about this right now, and we'll come back to it later.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the communication, right?
It really is.
Listening to each other. And I think it's a good thing that we know. I think it's a beautiful thing, actually, about we're married. We've taken vows. We know we're committed to each other. So when we go through things that are like, who are you? Or, you know, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
There's still that commitment. You work this through.
Yeah.
You get to the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what plays into the commitment. I'm thinking of, it's a sacred marriage. We went through that together. And maybe you can help me, Tom. Was it neuroplasticity? But do you guys remember that?
I can't help you, Mark.
Michaela could probably do that.
But it was a concept of, and they said it was up to 8 years that a couple, once they're together, they're actually, their brains are am I saying this right? Are thinking the same and together. And we hear so many, even us in our communication, that is the issue that we have, is expectations and having to communicate. And it will be, I think, until the Lord takes us home. It's just the struggle that we have. So, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
But the good thing is it's something we can practice and get better at. So
it's right.
We'll
daily.
Continue working on it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So true. So true. All right. Can you share what family life was like growing up?
Mm, right. Either, yeah. either
background
one.
Background story. I don't know how much time we have, but yeah. I came from a great family. Both my parents knew the Lord. We were in church a lot. They were youth leaders. My mom was a choir director. So we were very, very integrated into our church life and family. My mom worked full-time until I think my sister was like a year old. So, and then she decided to stay home with us, which was wonderful, and but it did put a lot of financial stress on the family. So as far as some experiences, you know, watching most arguments were around centered around money. They could get a little volatile sometimes. So I didn't really know anything else, but I'm sure that did impact me a little bit on just how I process things and also articulate myself in an argument. I can be the more heated one. So, but all that to say, we were close, affectionate family. Family was important to us. Both my grandparents, we were there a lot. My parents had wonderful Christian friends. So, even for holidays and stuff, it wouldn't always be just with our like immediate family. We'd have friends in, and so
that's
like
great.
Fun growing up with that. That's kind of
great.
The backstory a little bit.
All right, so Michaela grew up in Maine. I grew up in New Hampshire. I grew up similar in a Christian home. I had two older sisters. We all attended Christian school from kindergarten all the way through high school, and we're at church a couple days a week. I think what's a little different for my family is Michaela's not just her immediate family, but extended family. There was a lot of people where faith was important. So there was a lot of shared faith in her family. Mm. In my family, it was basically my immediate family was not the only ones, but close to it. So even the decision that my parents made to send us to a Christian school, I think was hard for a lot of the extended family to understand. So there was a lot of different views on that. And that wasn't easy for my parents to send us either. That financially, they had to make a big commitment and sacrifice to send us there. So I think it was probably hard to know that a lot of their family didn't necessarily agree with that. But I appreciate the sacrifice they made to do that.
They believed in it, right?
Yeah.
Is the school still here?
It is not. Okay. It's been, it was kind of folded into another local Christian school.
Okay.
Lots of fun growing up. So, families, here we go. Sports, music. What was your family known for?
Growing up?
Yeah.
Well, I guess ours, we did a lot of music. My mom loved music, so my sister and I both play the piano. We played for church. We sang in the choir. We sang my mom. So I think music, we had a, my grandparents had some property up in Bryant Pond, Maine on Christopher Lake. So we would be up there summers a lot. As far as sports, my dad liked softball. That did not pass down to me.
You seem athletic to me.
Well, that might be
a little bit. Yeah.
I played soccer. I went to also a very small Christian school, and so they were like, whoever wants to play, you're on the team.
They needed it.
We used to be outside. My dad grew up on a farm, so I feel like work ethic was like very important to him. And so on the weekends, we were doing wood. We were raking. We were working together as a family. So for him, that was met his love languages. Maybe not mine, but for him, it was good.
It was teaching you.
It was teaching me, though. I do appreciate that very much.
Yeah, those are good life lessons. Yeah. And you come from, like, the Von Trapps family, or what?
Definitely not. And I did not grow up in a athletically gifted family either. But growing up, soccer was my sport. I think in junior high and high school, that was a lot of my identity because I really enjoyed it and spent a lot of time playing. And I think for my parents, especially my dad, I know he commented at one point that he kind of enjoyed it because he never knew anything about soccer. And then he kind of had to learn what soccer was and what the rules and watching me. But he was always there for every game. Both my parents tried to be there for everything, which I appreciated.
Yeah, it does. That matters in a big way.
My family was all sports. No music. I mean, we sang, but and it was important.
It maybe shouldn't have.
Yeah.
All right. I will say, I think there was one year where my two sisters and one other boy made up the children's choir.
Oh, there you go.
So I hope there are no recordings of that.
I just think that'd be cool to hear it. All right, that's awesome. All right, so here we go. Next question is, what are your careers and how does this impact or affect your marriage?
I'll start off. I'm a financial planner. I think it's a pretty great career in that it's pretty flexible. So I transitioned, did a little career pivot about 5 or 6 years ago. I was working in Boston previously and saw, especially once we had our first child, that if I didn't make a career pivot, I was always going to be stuck working in a big city, whatever that looked like. So,
did you enjoy it though? Did you enjoy the city?
I did. Yeah. It just wasn't as conducive to wanting to be present for the family, especially with a commute and stuff. Yeah. So, started to consider what a pivot might look like, and landed as a financial planner, which is great. And I think it's a nice career where I do have more of the 9-to-5 schedule, but there's, especially now, there's location flexibility. So if there's something with the family, it can be something, not every day, but I can be at home with Michaela, with the girls, whatever that looks like. So it's been nice.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
Most days I don't feel like I bring a whole lot of stress home either. So it's been a good transition.
Okay. Well, I'm a registered nurse.
So you can handle blood?
I can handle blood.
Yeah, it's good because I can't.
All right, the rest of us will face.
You're the nurse. Take care of it.
That's right. You're up.
I do the blood.
That's right.
So I've been doing that for 20 years. It makes me sound very old. But just had my anniversary there. And I started off in critical care and worked in the ICU for about 10 years. And then
she definitely can handle blood.
That's a serious thing. Yeah,
yeah, serious. But yeah. I kind of had a little like early mini
crisis
of what am I doing? I can't kind of do this anymore. And it was kind of like, well, I can either admit to the fact that I'm not going to be a lifelong ICU nurse or get out of nursing. Right. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I'll just try to find something in the middle. So I kind of also pivoted to recovery from nursing. So like post anesthesia. So when you're waking up out of surgery, I can help you make sure you feel good.
And that's
walk
nice.
You out the door.
Yeah.
So I see ya.
Right.
But it's a little less stressful, but still acute that I can still enjoy.
Keeps you on your toes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, and it's also a very flexible career in the way that, you know, I'm working per diem now. So I work maybe 3 days a month, but it's enough that I can keep my hand in the game and still feel like.
How does per diem work? I've heard that before. So you get to kind of set when you work.
Well, some institutions have different viewpoints on that, but Mass General is very flexible with me in that I can, yes, pick my days. Sometimes, most times, I will say, I think most per diem nurses have to work the holes in the schedule.
Okay.
So they don't really have a lot of say. But God has seen to it that I can kind of pick a couple days that work with Tom's schedule, and he stays home with the girls, and I'll go work, which is good. It's still, you know, after Maeve was born, I was I didn't really want to go back, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just wanted to be home and focus on that. And I had one of my colleagues kind of say, I don't know if you really want to do that. She's like, I stepped out for 10 years and then getting back in all these courses and this and that. So I'm like, oh. So, but I'm really happy that, you know, I'm still working occasionally. I feel like I still get to contribute to flourishing of life and, you know, helping people. And but how it's impacted our marriage.
I'll say I think it's a great career. Just the fact that Michaela can work as needed. She can step in. She can step out.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't have the type of career where I can just choose to work 1 week out of the month or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very nice that she can choose. I think then 1 month there was decided not to work just because things were busy. And then other times she can work a day or two here to keep her foot in the door and still be available and at home with the family, which for me, that takes a lot of stress off me. I don't have to juggle the girls' schedules, getting them to doctor's appointments, et cetera. So from my perspective, the flexibility is great.
Seeing you guys, though, this is to our listeners who don't know the Burleys. We've seen you guys with your girls and how you tag team each other with care, and it's nothing short of a blessing. It really, I think you do it well.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's so good too. I mean, just it's front and center, and so the priority is your girls and. It's exciting to see how the Lord works out schedules in order to do that. Because whether Christian or not, there just are so many couples that the career comes first and the kids become second or more of a bother. And so it is encouraging to see that. It's a good witness. It's a very good witness. So, yeah.
And we feel very fortunate that we can make this decision where Michaela can be home most of the time.
Yeah.
So that's a huge blessing. I know not everyone can make that decision. So we certainly recognize that.
Mm. Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get to hear from these little girls.
Yeah, we'll see.
Where could they be?
Okay, so we're going to just pivot a little bit. Can you share with us a time that you wondered if your marriage would survive this, parentheses again, whatever this is, and what has been your greatest struggle? Or speak to that.
I think the good news is I don't think we had ever had one of those times where it was a question of can we survive this? You know, we've had stresses in our marriage. There was a time when we wanted kids and it wasn't coming to fruition like we had hoped and what we'd imagined. And it was stressful and it was hard, but it never felt like a time that was pulling us apart as a couple. It was a struggle for both of us, but in some ways, maybe it brought us closer together. I don't know. But I don't think we've ever had that time where we weren't sure how this was going to go and how this was going to work.
That's great.
Yeah. I would say early on in our marriage, sometimes I feel like I was fairly insecure in a lot of ways. Not that I couldn't trust Tom or that he wouldn't be there, but there was just this, sometimes I'd kind of push harder to see what his response would be. And
sometimes you got a response.
Sometimes I did. And so those times I'm like,
gee, that sounds familiar. Man,
did I push too hard?
Yeah.
But I knew, you know, he's definitely a guy of high commitment. And we kind of talked about it from the start that we'd never like bring the divorce word in, even like as a joke. That was
great.
Kind of like a, no, someone told us that.
One of Michaela's friends told us that when we were engaged, she said, just never even use the D word as a joke.
Yeah.
You never want that to be in your mind to wonder if, is there any truth
it's
to that
It's so true.
Joke?
Yeah.
That was good advice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I heard Will Smith say that.
good dialogue.
Yeah. I don't know where he's at in his marriage, but yeah, I thought that's really good, you know. And that's someone who's not a believer, even understanding the weight of the word.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's great.
It is challenging. I mean, the first year of marriage, first 2 years of marriage can be so hard. And there are just couples that find themselves thinking, what have I done? And can I stay with this person? But it's, I think, awesome to have the peace of the Lord that this is my mate and this is who I'm with and we're going to make it through it. Which is our next question. What has kept you?
That's all right.
Yeah.
Because I just want to make sure that the listeners hear what we're saying. We're not saying they haven't been in struggles.
Yeah.
We're saying that those struggles have not torn them apart in their marriage or felt like they wouldn't survive.
Yeah.
So,
And
I think we both recognize we made a commitment to each other on August 15, 2010, but we made a commitment to God at the same time.
Yeah.
And so we keep both of those in mind.
And that's a daily thing, right? To remind you that, okay, this is a commitment to the Lord as well as to each other.
Yeah.
And just seeing how actually the Lord brought us together, even just like some minute details, it kind of... If I was ever in a spot where I was like feeling, oh, maybe this wasn't what I was, you know, maybe he wasn't what I was, I was meant to be with. I just look back on how, you know, just how everything through all those details worked out. And I, not that I feel that way very often at all, but, just having those milestones and, how the Lord has kind of orchestrated everything, just gives that peace.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll share one of those stories. When we were first dating, we were both at a point where we were leaving Portland, Maine, moving down to Boston. My job had been eliminated, so I was happy to move down to Boston, make a change. And my cousin was kind enough to let me stay in an extra room she had in her apartment. And Michaela was talking to a colleague, and she was saying, well, I'm going to move to Boston. And her colleague said, well, my daughter or someone was looking to sublet an apartment in Boston for the summer. It's great. So she
kind of MIT student. So
she kind of signed on to it, and then we got the address and looked at it, and it was on the same block that my cousin
works.
Which,
wow!
If you look at a city like Boston, what are the chances of that?
Right?
It was pretty neat, and it was neat at that time to transition together, to be living that close, be able to explore Boston together,
absolutely,
and, continue building the relationship.
So that's you guys are meant to be together? Is that what you're saying?
It's the rumor.
Well, we are, so whether or not.
That's right.
All right, we've kind of answered it. You're meant to be together, but what keeps you together? What are some things that keep you guys together?
It's a humor.
Right.
Tom's funny.
I know whether you know it or not. It's a little funny sometimes.
Yes,
D-R-Y, dry humor.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
married one too, yeah. So I totally get it.
It's not as dry to me as it used to be. Maybe I'm changing. I don't know. That helps. A shared faith help. I think we have just like great friends that also help. Just encourage us to keep going.
It's nice we have shared interest.
Yeah.
It may seem like a small thing, but even shared sense of taste. We don't have arguments over what sofa we're going to buy or what bedspread.
Sometimes it's a little uncanny.
Yeah. Sometimes uncomfortable how close it is. Right?
I love it.
I'm just glad that's not where we have to spend our time.
Yeah.
Hashing through details. Oh, right. Little things like that. Yeah. Even if we're buying a car, like that's an easy decision together. So I'm glad that we don't have to spend any emotional baggage on that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We are just very similar in so many things that it's almost kind of easy sometimes. But we obviously have our hang-ups. Communication is like that's like the big one. Tom's just kind of fun. He's fun to be around. And when COVID happened, he was working from home. And I figured, well, this is like the test, right?
Right.
We're X amount of years into our marriage if we can be at the same place constantly.
There's a lot of togetherness.
And it was wonderful. And I actually grieved when he had to go back into the office. Some of it a little selfish, because I couldn't just leave my toddler in her crib and go out and do an errand or something. We just enjoy being together.
That's great.
Okay. This is personal, kind of. Can you share how you spend time with the Lord individually and as a couple? What does that look like?
So earlier in our marriage, we did more studies and Bible study together, especially before kids. We hosted a small group at our apartment. And so there was more studies together. I think in general, especially since we've had kids, we've done some studies, side by side where we'll do the study together, not together. We'll read things separately and then come together and talk about it, which has been nice. But I think individually we study and spend time differently. So I think it's sometimes best that we do our own thing and come back to talk about it, whether that's a podcast we're listening to or something we're reading, studying. I think Michaela is probably better and more disciplined about quiet time than I am. Mm-hmm. I go through periods where I'm not as great. I'm not as disciplined in that. So,
When you're great, is it morning or evening?
Evening.
Evening. So you're an evening.
I'm an evening person. Yeah. Michaela is more of a morning person.
Wow.
And that may also feed into why it doesn't always work for us to do studies together at the same time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're kind of the same way.
We've noticed that. Yeah. I mean, if we're communicating at a time that one of us, it's not our good time, it normally doesn't go very well.
Talk about communication.
In fact, I think the first time we met you guys, you were doing... Michaela had a study you guys were doing together. And I was so blessed by the fact that the both of you were really into this study.
That's a good score.
Cool. Yeah. I do her Beth Moore women's study.
I wasn't going to say it. It is good. It has depth and right. Yeah. That was very cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. How about you? Anything you want to add, Michaela?
Just similar. We used to think we should do more together in that regard. And I think we've just come to the fact that it's okay that we do our separate thing. And then we do have some shared, we love certain podcasts we listen to, similar books that we can have those discussions about. And it's all right.
Yeah. I'll say the marriage ministry here at the church for Mark and I has been really good in the fact that we have to be on the same page if we're going through a book or whatever the content is. It kind of forces us to be in communication together. I think we do well individually.
We do.
But we don't have a ton of things we do together. We're reading through scripture.
We read through the Bible together. And that was suggested to us from a couple in the church. And it's just, I recommend it. And read out loud. There's just something about doing that. We read through once.
Especially when you get in Judges and all those names. You'll start laughing together.
Try to pronounce them. So I hit the speaker button or whatever on my Bible app, so we get to listen to it as opposed to read it. So,
nice.
So true. Yeah.
All right. We down to me asking?
Yeah, number nine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, this is fun. What are your favorite things to do together?
Pre and post children are different. But,
oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, we just had more time. And before children, we were very active outside. Lots of hikes. We'd watch Chronicle on a weekly basis, and we
like
would,
every good 80-year-old couple.
Yeah, and we're both old souls, so I guess that makes
sense.
Sorry,
we do Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, we do.
Some good vibes there. But we'd get in the car on a Saturday morning. We'd go to this place we'd watched about, and we'd. There's just a lot more trips.
That's cool.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah. Check out a new coffee shop or. Hmm.
We drive 2 hours to try a coffee shop and a baguette.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we were just kind of more.
A little harder to do.
Yeah, less structured. I feel like now we have two other people's opinions and that weigh in and just different activities. So, but the girls like to be outside. So we've been doing like family stuff. Like now both girls are on skis. So in the winter,
we've been doing
some skiing. That's been really kind of fun.
So both of you ski?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We used to run together, which was nice. That was always fun. And
how far?
Not far, Mark.
Does it matter?
It's a man thing.
It's nice now the girls are doing their little run things and up to running a mile and a half. So it's kind of fun even at this point to even go for a little run as a family. So little by little, we're getting back out there, getting back to hiking, skiing, running, and getting more active as the girls get a little older.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, we had a fun bike trip with you guys this past summer.
We did.
Yeah. Story behind that was we got together with the family, you two and the two girls, and I was approaching it that it was just going to be this
short little ride.
Short, maybe mile.
And I thought it was.
How far did we go? 80 miles?
I think it was 17
when miles.
When it was all said and done. Michaela took off with the girls, and I'm like, she's in this to win.
Okay. I better change my outlook on this.
Do you know me, Heather?
I get my heart rate up. I do. I should have known that.
But it was a great ride.
It was absolutely great.
It was. It was so much fun.
We need an e-bike.
So we needed one.
I needed the e-bike.
That's so awesome. Yep.
I don't ruin any expectations. So.
Yeah, we bike everywhere, and they pretty much did us in. Yeah, it was great.
So, all right, that's awesome. All right, last question. What have you come to appreciate in each other?
So I appreciate Michaela as a, whether she liked it or not, she got that work ethic growing up.
Yeah.
She's a hard worker. And a lot of where her work is focused on now is on our home, on the girls, and on hosting and welcoming people into our homes, which I appreciate. And I appreciate the hospitality. She has more of the hospitality gene, but it's fun to serve with her in that way. Because I know that that's important to her. I know she gets a lot of life and energy from that, and it's neat to see.
That's great.
Thank you. I have come to appreciate Tom's quiet leadership skills. When we first got married, I felt maybe that he wasn't taking ownership of that area as he should in the way I thought he should be doing it. And the Lord has really shown me that he just has a quiet way of doing it. And
does it feel authoritative or?
No.
Because no.
That would not go well.
Tom just raised his fist.
No, it's actually very life-giving. I never feel like I have to, compete or that I'm getting the raw end of the deal, or that I'm subservient in any way. Mm. Like he, he's just very gracious. Now he does speak into my life and into my, my actions, my attitudes. Like he doesn't let those things go. So sometimes I don't always appreciate that. Big picture, I do. In the moment, it's sometimes hard to hear. But he is just, I think he's grown a lot. I think his job has forced him to do that with talking and having presentations and just kind of getting more comfortable in his own skin. But he's brought that home, and it's just nice to see him kind of take that on with the girls. He's a clear set. He has clear set boundaries. But he's gracious, and even with my family and his family at the beginning of our relationship, he kind of set those expectations and boundaries, and so I do appreciate that, where he's...
Yeah, because you're not left guessing, right?
Yeah, and I appreciate his humor. And like I said before, it's not as dry as it used to be to me, so... and he's taller than he used to be.
I was very short when we first started dating. I think Michaela thought I was around 4 feet tall.
I never dated someone probably like that.
She didn't know how she was ever going to be with someone that she looked down on like that. But
it's your personality that makes you tall.
Yes.
You rose to the occasion. That's great.
Not quite 6 feet, but.
Yeah. But that's awesome. I think it's, to me, I'm hearing the gospel. I'm hearing what the Bible calls us and what a marriage is to look like. And I think it is a beautiful, we're made in God's image. We're both valuable in the same level, but we all have roles. And it's exciting to hear you guys, how you're leading together, Tom leading and you as the wife and then the children. So we're seeing a good picture here. So.
We do admire both of you very much. Yeah. We've enjoyed having your friendship in our life, too.
Yeah, it's been a blessing.
Michaela has been kind of the reason we all know each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you reached out to us to have dinner.
Yeah, your hospitality.
Yeah, yeah. Your gift set, for sure.
Yeah, I got to meet Tom. It wasn't half bad.
That's right. And a lot of people think you're brothers, so I don't know what's going on there. Yeah.
Same haircut.
Used to be same glasses, but not anymore. Yeah. So, well, we love you so much. Now we're going to transition into what we call the lightning round.
Okay. Do you win a prize?
Yeah. No, you don't win a prize.
These are supposed to just be fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
And, you know, if you've heard the podcast, then it's just words we're going to put out there, and we just want what comes to your mind right off.
First thing.
Okay.
First thing. So, all right.
These about each other. Or just
No.
First thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, okay. First thing. All right, pet peeve.
Michaela's struggling here because it's not planned.
Tom is my pet peeve. Those are hard, aren't they?
They are hard.
I will say, maybe me and Pastor Ken are kind of similar in this. I have a little rage issues sometimes. I wouldn't say rage, but I do get annoyed that people don't follow the rules on the road.
So a justice person. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Probably communication for me.
He gets pretty annoyed.
Poor communication.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Why didn't you just say it? Right. Right.
It's good.
I have a lot of pet peeves.
I did say it, and it wasn't good. Yeah. That's more the issue. I did say it.
Tom has a pet peeve look on his face.
Okay, that works. All right, I don't have a list here of how we're doing.
Okay,
this,
I'm up. Favorite TV show?
Oh, random.
Yeah.
Well, what we're into right now, we are into Maine Cabin Masters.
Oh, okay.
We tend to, go back and binge on things. We've watched the whole Cosby Show from the start. Waltons.
We did Matlock for a while.
You guys are old souls.
Little House on the Prairie. We binged through that. So we love British TV together. Oh, you know what?
British.
Our favorite one is Foyle's War was one.
Great.
Things, right.
Yes, with Harriet.
Oh, my gosh.
James Harriet.
Big.
I can't help
all
you guys.
All creatures great.
Yes.
Great and small.
Thank
yes.
you.
That is excellent.
I have heard that. We have yet to...
I have to remember that. Put it on our list.
Right.
We're always thinking, what?
New ones come out in January.
Yeah. Okay.
So are there commercials? Commercials?
No, it's like Masterpiece Theater. So.
Yeah, because I can't stand commercials.
No. Yeah, we're getting very...
What's that?
Pet peeve of yours?
Yes, commercials. Yeah. Thank you. This isn't about me, Tom. This is about you. All right, next up, chocolate.
No. Well, no. Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. You've already said it. Chocolate.
Yes, please.
Yes, okay. Yeah, that's the question. that's the answer, right? That's
good. That's good, because Mark is not a chocolate person.
No.
So he always gets mad at me. Oh, you ever buy
everything
chocolate? Everything
is chocolate, yeah. I'm a white person. I like chocolate, and not chocolate. I like white cake. I like vanilla ice cream.
We might have to scrap that.
Might have to edit that one, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, moving on. Christmas.
Yes, okay. We love Christmas. We get our first fake tree this year.
Oh.
Ooh, so you've always been live tree.
We have.
They're pricey, are they not?
Yeah, that's part of the decision to go fake. Now, to Tom's chagrin, but he's a good sport, and he also understands the...
So Michaela spoke to my financial side and explained the break-even analysis for the cost of a fake tree versus every year buying real trees. So she told me that the break-even was 4 years, and after that, it's free.
Yeah,
there you go.
It works. Yeah. Anyway, it looks beautiful. It's
real. I was going to say, a lot of them have, they've improved what the artificial trees look like. Yeah.
We've been, over 10 years maybe?
Yeah.
We can keep it up for as long as we
want
with no needles on the
ground. That's right.
That's awesome.
That's right. Yep. Easy pickup.
All right.
Reading or movies?
Oh, probably used to be reading. I listen to most things now in Audible, but.
Is that considered reading?
Yeah, it's a book.
I think it is.
I just don't have time to sit there without getting distracted. So when I'm in the car, I do a lot
listening. I think you do a lot of reading.
That way, yeah. I do like a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the Wall Street Journal? So that's you?
Yeah. I'm more of a...
not bad reading.
I'm more of a book person,
okay.
Whether it's listening or reading.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, movies, I can give or take them.
Yeah.
So you're reading fiction, nonfiction?
Nonfiction.
He's a big reader.
Wow. Yeah.
Big
and
podcast
listener. Person.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
He likes to learn.
Yeah, audiobooks. Best invention ever.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bible translation.
I'm in ESV now.
Hmm.
I grew up in King James.
Right.
It's hard to...
New King James or King James?
King James.
Oh, wow.
So, memorizing all those, it's hard to re-memorize in different versions.
Yes.
But I'm enjoying ESV. Michaela got me an ESV study Bible 2 or 3 years ago for Christmas.
Hmm.
I have transitioned to the CSB, which I really like.
That's a good one.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
But also with Tom, having grown up with the King James Version, and memorizing out of that, sometimes memorizing out of the CSV, I'm getting used to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier in some ways, and then it's just so different in other ways. But I like that version.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it too.
We had the date night last week or so, and the scripture in Colossians that I was reading, I did the translation, the New Living Translation. I don't know if you guys noticed when I was reading it, I messed up because I had it memorized and thinking, oh, it's not saying that. So it is weird how you learn stuff. So, yeah, so it's awesome. All right.
I don't know if this is kind of the same thing as the first one.
As a pet peeve?
Yeah, but no, vices.
I think it's different.
Vices?
I think it's different.
How long do we have here?
Should we start with ice cream or do we go?
Those are the best.
Your go-to thing, right? When you're stressed or
I love a good evening dessert, whatever
that
might look like.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Cake, pie, ice cream.
Amen.
That's you, right?
Yeah.
I'll say food is probably a vice. To probably the detriment of myself. the Lord's kind of brought that up a little bit recently. So, yeah, but so it used to be. I don't know what my new vice hopefully will be, going to the Word of God to help me with my other vices. But
it always leads back, or should lead us back, right? Just can't get past this.
There's a side of it too, I think, that I'm probably stepping out on a limb here, but I think vices can be a good thing.
I do too.
There was that book we went through as a family camp years ago, and it was The Things of This Earth. And the book basically took you through how God has given us wonderful gifts as long as we can see Jesus and God on the other side of that gift, and then enjoy that vice, whatever that is, fully, but only in that context. Mm-hmm. But I think that is our struggle. I mean, I say it all the time. I'm like you, Tom. I always have to have dessert after dinner. It's the question, how much? One more scoop or one more piece, you know? And
because I think they can be enjoying good things too.
Yeah. And Michaela, exercise is important to her. It's part of mental health, is to be able to get up in the morning, get her exercise. Yeah. But that's one of those things where that can also become an addiction.
It really can.
Unhealthy.
Yeah.
Right. I have struggled. Yeah, that has been a thing. I don't find myself there now, but you get to the point where you're like, oh, if I skip a day, uh-oh.
Yeah, absolutely. It can direct your attitude. Then it's a problem.
Yeah, which is crazy, which it really is. So. Well, thanks, you guys. You made it through the questions and the lightning round.
Right,
Well done. If there's an audience, they'd be clapping right now.
That's right. We're clapping. That's right. Who's clapping? We have two very special guests in here at the moment to close us out. Yeah. Two young ladies. First one is?
Maeve.
And Maeve, how old are you?
Six.
Okay. And who's our other young lady here?
Arden.
And how old are you, Arden?
Eight.
You guys get along?
No.
You will.
Sometimes.
You will.
Can you say sometimes?
Sometimes.
Yeah. When you're told to.
No.
No.
You guys do great together.
Yeah.
Yes, so in case our listeners haven't guessed already, this is Tom and Michaela's two beautiful girls.
Yeah.
So you have a question for them?
Yeah, what is your favorite food? We'll start with you, Maeve.
Mac and cheese.
Mac? Who's Mac? Oh, macaroni. Do you like it with wieners in it? Hot dogs? Sausage?
Nothing.
Black pepper on top?
Nothing.
Have you ever had like a crusted bread crust on top of it?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's
yummy.
Good. Yummy.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Arden, what is your favorite food? Don't say mac and cheese.
Pizza.
Pizza, wow.
Why don't you choose hot dogs?
Hot dog. You like anchovies?
Those.
They're little fishies that go on top of pizza.
Why would you ask anchovies?
Okay, what's your favorite topping on the pizza?
Just cheese.
Cheese. All right. I like it.
Yeah. Very good. Pepperoni and cheese. Absolutely. Those are the most popular.
Yeah.
All right. Lastly, Christmas is like really close. So what's your hopes for Christmas?
A pink pogo stick.
A pogo stick. Those things you bounce up and down on?
Those are still around?
Yes. Arden has a yellow one.
A yellow? Really?
Wow.
Have you got hurt on it yet? You haven't run into the wall or
no. It's an outside.
Broke your nose. No, that's awesome. So a pink one.
A pink pogo stick. All right, Arden, how about you?
I don't know. Doll clothes. Boy. I don't know what I want.
Roller skates. You have roller skates?
Yes.
Yep.
A new bike? No.
You like your old bike?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we thank you guys for joining us too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks, you guys. Yeah. Take care, everyone.
Let's listen to it now.
As we close out this podcast, it also closes us out for another year.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming to the end of a year, and as everybody starts thinking forward into the new year, 2025, We're dating ourselves now. We would just ask all of you to be in prayer for the couples that you've heard here over the last year and the couples in your life, right? They're around us everywhere. And they need our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
To pray for them and that the Lord be leading them well is to pray for their families.
Right. Yeah.
And let us trust the Lord to direct our plans for the future.
Hmm.
Mark, you have something you'd like to close us in?
Yeah, I'm going
to
close with Galatians 3:20. It says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So may that be our life in the year ahead.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us.